Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. We're seeing the GOP healthcare plan beginning to stall out in the Senate. You're taking a look at Medicaid expansion in a broader sense this week. What are you seeing? What are you sensing?
In the broader, whether the Affordable Care Act gets repealed, replaced in one of these two proposals in Congress, whether the House version, the Senate version, as I have said to people this week, just kind of put up my arms and shrug. God only knows. The Senate version of the bill, you know, Mr. McConnell has delayed it till after the holiday. But what we really took a look at this week in a story we posted the other day at MIBiz.com was some data the Michigan Health and Hospital Association puts out annually in what it calls Community Benefits Report. Part of that lists bad debt incurred by hospitals in Michigan. This is bad debt, people who either don't or can't pay their medical bills. 2015 was the first full year Medicaid was expanded in Michigan under the Healthy Michigan program. So we have our first full year of data. And it showed a pretty good clip or a pretty good reduction in bad debt and the amount of financial assistance hospitals provided patients who can't pay their medical bills. Again, 2015 data, bad debt declined from 561.8 million to 425 million. Financial assistance declined from 353.1 to 165.4. That's some real money for these hospitals. You throw a couple of other items in there, and we're talking about a $400 million expansion or $400 million reduction in what went unpaid and uncompensated care for these hospitals. Now, everybody can decide for themselves whether they like, dislike the ACA. I'm not looking to get into those policy debates, but here is one of the net effects of the ACA and the Medicaid expansion. And this is important for employers because for years prior to the ACA, the debate was about cost shifting. Hospitals losing money on Medicaid shortfalls, on bad debt, and all of that, they shifted some of those costs onto the paying customer, just like a retailer shifts costs for losses onto paying customers. This happens in healthcare as well, cost shifting. And we've seen some data over the years, research reports over the years, that shows it's well over $1,000 per policy, per premium, goes to pay for cost shifting. So here's one of the things that the ACA has done. Again, everybody can decide the ACA on where they sit in life. But that bad debt has gone down for the hospitals. That, in theory, should lead to a little less cost shifting onto employers. Now, the broader debate, of course, is where is this whole thing going? And as I said, we'll find out as of some of the most recent things you read. It doesn't look like the Senate has the vote. There are the votes to pass this latest proposal. And we all read, people should go online and read that Congressional Budget Office report. 22 million people could lose coverage over the next 10 years. That brings in the broader debate of why do we have these laws? Why do we have the ACA? The ACA was intended to extend coverage. And there are a lot of things to dislike about the law. The biggest issue is the individual mandate that you must have health coverage. A lot of folks complain about the taxes and the fees and the burdensome paperwork on businesses and reporting. All those are up for debate now as both of these laws, the House passed version a few weeks back and now the Senate version, might come up to a vote next week if they can get the vote.
In this case, it's not simply the ACA. It's the ACA and how Michigan dealt with Medicaid expansion, correct? So is the Healthy Michigan plan a model that other states could be following to make all of this work in the long run?
A lot of folks in Michigan believe it is. You know, they brought in some really nice reform. They did it right. This was, you had a lot of business folks in the business community pushing reforms for Medicaid, push it more toward wellness, managed care, your Medicaid HMOs that help folks manage chronic conditions. And there are 650,000 people enrolled in the Healthy Michigan plan now, which, oh, by the way, would very likely go away under either one of these proposals now in Congress, the House and the Senate version. So Michigan did it right. Michigan expanded it right. Should that expansion continue? Boy, there are folks far above my pay grade debating that issue. But if you look at what you said, the reforms instituted with the expansion of Medicaid in Michigan, were some things that a lot of folks had been advocating for a long time and saying that were badly needed.
Healthcare, a hot topic. Another hot topic has been having an educated or a well-trained workforce, and we've been seeing these shortages of highly skilled workers over the past few years. Shape Corporation is launching an advanced manufacturing education program at the Lakeshore School District.
Yeah, this is Shape Corporation here in Grand Haven, partnering with the high school in town, Grand Haven High School, and the Society of Manufacturing Engineers out of Dearborn. You know, we have heard for the last two or three years repeatedly from small businesses, from corporate CEOs, and everybody in between, they cannot find enough skilled trades people. They cannot find enough qualified workers, especially in the manufacturing setting, welders, CNC operators, folks who are trained in those skills. And you can point a lot of fingers if you want. Over the years, a lot of those old apprenticeship programs that maybe our fathers went through years ago, those kind of disappeared over the last two decades for a variety of reasons. Again, if you want to point fingers, you can. But now we're beginning to see some of those models come back because there's a shortage of workers. Who'd have thought we'd be at this point when we were going through that battle 8-9 years ago with the economy? So Shape Corporation, which is an automotive supplier here in Grand Haven, is put $315,000 into an advanced manufacturing education program at Grand Haven High School. A good chunk of that, about half, will go to buy equipment. And then it works with the Society of Manufacturing Engineers, which has a program called PRIME, Partnership and Partnership Response in Manufacturing Education. And that organization, the SME, has the curriculum that fits the needs of the manufacturers. So it's really a three-way partnership to get into the school, to start teaching again, or again, teach these trades and skills to high school students who maybe they don't have plans, they don't have the financial ability or whatever ability to move on to college immediately, but they can learn a skill right here and that can steer them down a career pathway into some pretty good paying jobs. And that solves that issue and can solve the issue for the employers. So here's something that's a start. It's a first here in this region, and we'll see where it goes. But it really represents kind of a beginning of a return to those old apprenticeship programs that were very common many years ago.
Well, employers looking for expanding their workforce, finding those skilled trade employees, well, they might have another issue on their hands in the next few years. Should voters turn out? Marijuana legalization, looks like we have a ballot proposal that we may see next year.
May, that's the key word here right now. Employers, you may want to keep an eye on this one. There's an organization, it's a grassroots movement to legalize marijuana in Michigan. The group is going to start collecting petition signatures here pretty soon to put this issue on the ballot in 2018 to legalize marijuana. And we have a cover story on this in our edition this week. Again, not going to debate the merits of this proposal, but here's a key thing for employers why they may want to watch this, which is, what is your right to have a drug-free workplace or an alcohol-free workplace? There is language in this ballot initiative that says employers, if this passes in 2018, in roughly 15 months, if this passes, employers can still enforce their drug-free policies in the workplace. The issue is, what if somebody necessarily doesn't come to work stoned, but they still have this in their system if they're tested? Well, that's a little bit of another issue, so that's something that's going to have to be worked out, and that is a real issue. Many employers drug test. Many employers do it on hiring. They do random screenings. So that's an issue that's going to have to get worked out. But right now, the ballot proposal is the folks behind it are gathering signatures. It could go on the ballot if they get enough. And it has that language that would allow employers to continue enforcing their policies and either refuse to hire or discipline or discharge folks who come to work under the influence.
Of course, there is that gray area of prove it, and perhaps there is an opportunity to prove it. I can only imagine that the Michigan State Police, when they stop a driver they suspect of being under the influence or stoned while driving, I can only imagine there's some sort of a field sobriety test that they'll be performing that employers may have to perform as well.
Who knows where this could go? And this is one of these issues when you look to, well, if it's even a problem, some folks consider it a problem, you look to resolve one issue, but what issues are you creating? You know, that law of unintended consequences. What are we creating down the road if we do this? And, you know, employers have a right to mitigate risk in their business. They have a right to enforce their policies. And if you don't like it, well, there are other opportunities for you. Obviously, employers have to work within the law and what the federal and state laws say and their policies. But many employers we talk to, they do indeed test. And where do they come down if somebody has this in their system and that violates their policy? That's up to each individual employer to determine what they want to do about it. But under this proposal, this could really cause some new issues that employers haven't thought about before.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Talk to you again.